Over the years, these advancements in technology are making artificial intelligence more accessible and more powerful than ever before. Well, to tell us more about artificial intelligence, we are joined by Todpot Majok, a computer engineer who invented an artificial intelligence app that instantly tests for malaria. And this device was produced in 2018. Good morning, and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Right. So now let's just understand what artificial intelligence is.
Well, I came up with my device with the name Tor Malaria Detector Device. Mm. It's a device that can detect malaria without blood. You know,
without blood?
Yeah, without blood. Okay. So yes, so you don't need to take the blood from the patient finger. So what you need to do is there is something we call a laser sensor. Uh-huh. This sensor will take an image from your finger, from the patient finger, and then with that image, you will put that image into the software that have an AI system in it.
Right.
So that system will have to analyze that image, and then after that, the software will give you the feedback if that person have malaria or not. Of course,
right.
it seemed like something that we cannot do, but you know, AI is a technology that can do things that human being cannot even imagine.
Right. If you ask me, I would go for that because I don't like injections. I don't want to see my blood.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, the device we used before could take like, you know, one hour or two hour for you to use it. Like, you know, if the nurse or lab technician take the test, it will take him for 30 minutes mm-hmm. to come back with the result. But you know, with my device, it take only like maybe minimum 10 to 20 minutes, and then it would give you the result.
Okay. So I mean, it's been there since 2018. I don't think it's very common. I've not come across it personally. So where are these devices?
My project is it's been been almost 3 or 4 years since mm-hmm. I came up with this project. But you know, I also had an interview with the BBC in 2018 when I came up with idea. So it's something that I've been working on, but it's something that people are not really into it because it is a new technology. People don't used to this kind of thing, so
right.
People think it's not something that we can do.
Hmm.
But for me, I've been working on it. I've been trying my best to improve the device and also to work on it. And still now, I'm still looking for funding,
right.
Looking for the people who can also support me
uh-huh.
on this device,
right.
on this project. It's
so
not something that
the blueprint is there, but it's not yet
not
course,
yet
manufactured.
Yeah. Yes, I still have the prototype with me, but you know, it's not yet into the market. You know, more work need to be done. More research need to be done.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Well, South Sudan may be struggling in adopting to artificial intelligence, but the world out there has actually adopted and embraced it. So how is artificial intelligence transforming the world? And I mean, in the way we live, in the way we work, and in the way we interact with each other?
Yeah, you know, for me, from experience, in 2019, I've been in China,
mm-hmm.
And I've really experienced what AI could do to the community and to the society. And when it comes to South Sudan, I think South Sudan is a country where AI could be really into use, because you know, when you talk about AI,
mm-hmm.
the technology that will do things that a human being could not be able to do,
right.
It will also serve time. For example, if we have to talk about the ChatGPT, in which you know everyone is talking about right now. If you look at what ChatGPT is doing now, it's changing a lot of things. That means rather than doing things in the way we used to do things before,
right.
I think, you know, as a country, you know, as a community, I think.
Well, my worry with ChatGPT is it doesn't. It's doing everything for you. Now, when are we going to be using our minds to think? Yeah. So, I mean, you can just tell it to do anything for you, to write proposals for you, to do everything literally for you. So isn't that going to incapacitate our minds in the long run?
Not really. You know, if you look at the at ChatGPT, let's say ChatGPT, if you look at the difference between the ChatGPT and the normal human being, is human can think.
Yes.
So you think and experience.
Yeah.
So one thing we've seen in ChatGPT, they cannot think, or they cannot, like, you know, they... they give you based on the data they have.
Yeah, of course, that, on the internet.
That means they don't go outside the box.
Right.
But you know, we human beings, we could go outside the box.
Uh-huh.
So remember, humans are also the one who are also who build up this ChatGPT.
Right.
That means human beings can go outside the box, uh-huh. but machine cannot go outside
right,
the box.
Right.
So this is the big difference between
okay,
them.
Okay, right. Thank you so much for that. Now let's talk about your AI malaria testing kit. What inspired you to come up with such a device?
For someone who have seen my interview with BBC in 2018, you know, when I was young, I lost my brother with malaria, and I was very disappointed at the time. Then I was thinking that maybe I could find something that I could really mitigate, I could find something that I could really work on that could get rid of this malaria. And then at the time I go to university, I was lucky enough that I was enrolled into the computer engineering field, where now I was able to know exactly what I could do. And then it came as an idea that we could get think in a new way,
right.
So that I came up with idea that rather than allowing people to take their blood to do the blood streaming, what if we came up with new device that could test malaria without even taking a blood?
Yeah.
It was also something new. We don't have this kind of thing in the market. It was my personal when I came up with idea, but now it's not personal anymore.
Yeah.
Something that we could do, you know, as a country and also as a community as well.
Right. So how long did it take you to invent this thing?
You know, invention doesn't take time, but what takes time is that how do you implement it?
Right.
So implementation takes time. For now, I'm still at the prototype stage. So personally, I'm not I don't have health background, so I need people also who are expertise in the health, who are malaria expertise.
Right.
For me, I can only do the software.
Uh-huh.
I can only do the technical feel of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, rather feel I need collaboration. I also need good Samaritan that can also fund the project as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, this is not an easy project. It need a lot of funding. It need a lot of attention as well.
Right. Well, you returned from China. That's where you studied in your university, right?
No. I went there for training.
Uh-huh. So where did you study?
I did my first bachelor degree in Dila University, Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
I also did my master there. And this year, maybe I'll be going for my PhD as well.
Right. So now, from all that experience and you coming back to Juba, how are you finding the environment in terms of access to technology and innovative spaces?
Yeah, sure. You know, for me, I've been working outside the country for quite a lot of years. I'm coming back to country this year. I'm coming to contribute. I'm coming to share my experience. I'm not someone coming here just to sit down and then do my own thing. I'm coming here to make an, to share my experience, to also trying to find a way that, you know, I can give what I have to my community. That's why now I'm looking for the way that if I could be able to have an incubation center where young people could come there, where young people could share the idea, where I can also train them on the IT.
Right.
I can also share my experience as well.
Right.
So I'm coming here to share my experience.
Okay. As we conclude our interview because of time, what are some of the other existing problems that you have identified in South Sudan that could have potential tech solutions?
Yeah, generally for me, much problem that I've seen here, technical skill. So we don't have technical people in the country. So a lot of things could be solved through technical skill, but I've seen the IT is the IT gap is too much. You know, I've been seeing a lot of offers. I've been traveling a lot in the country, going to different offers, and I've seen that the IT industry, they have the skill they have is very much less compared to where I was I was working hard.
Right. So what do you think would be the way forward?
So I think the way forward would be, you know, we need to train engineers.
Mm.
So we need to train people. So for me, personally, I've been in China, I've been in different countries. I've seen that when you train young people, when you give them the technical skill, these are the people that will come back tomorrow, that will change a lot of things.
And so, reinvest in the country.
Yes, so for right. me, I would say, invest in young people, give them the technical skill, and then after that, they will change.
Right. Todd Port Majok, thank you so much for your time.